Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney coming to you live for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. Big week as we get ready for the final major of the golf season. Obviously, Royal Port rushes the scene. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be interesting. We'll do a little golf later in the show. We've got Nota Begay is going to stop by. Good buddies with Tiger. Really treats us well. Golf Channel analyst. Always calls in from the courses. What's interesting about Royal Port Rush, and you and I documented this a little bit yesterday, the first major there, and it's not, you know, basically 60 years.
Yeah, forever.
Northern Ireland. So, but you think about all the golf that we watch and all the golf that we talk about, and whether it's stateside or internationally, you know, whether it's Augusta or Wingfoot or Pebble or Bethpage or Olympic in San Francisco or Mirfield or St. Andrews, we know all these courses. We're tuning in for the Open. We don't know what this course is like.
I don't even know what it looks like.
I don't have even a remote visual on it.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty fun.
It'll be fun for us. The question is, will it be difficult for these guys?
Depends how much homework you did.
But seriously, who's played it other than the practice round?
Brooks Koepka's caddy. He's a member there. We'll get to that story a little later.
That's right.
Rory, I believe, has the course record, I think I read. Yeah, shot Rory, a 50-something there.
And he's from Ireland, yep. So that makes sense that he would have played there.
Faraday's played there?
Yep, but a lot of these guys, they haven't been there. They wouldn't have a reason to be there, which could be an advantage for Rory.
Going to be a lot of fun. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour. How about this, though? You heard the Open there talking about the Clippers and the greatness of Jerry West, right? And when Jerry retired, I would guess that he was probably among the top 5 or 7 players of all time.
I mean, he was the logo, for Christ's sakes. Of course he was.
You think so? He had to have been. He's got to be. Because he's probably, for most people now, probably top 15. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, Kareem hadn't made his mark yet. Magic, yep. Bird, LeBron, obviously Tim Duncan, Shaq, Kobe. Oscar Robertson was playing. But most of the names that are inside the top 10 or top 15 now came after Jerry West was playing.
That's right.
Russell was there. Wilt was there. Point being, a lot of new additions post-Jerry's retirement. But Jerry West, obviously one of the great players of all time, and as we've documented many times, the best executive in the history, possibly of all sport, what he's done for the Lakers, for the Warriors, for the Grizzlies for a minute. You see what he said today?
Yeah, I did.
You see what he said
today? And it's
today?
Interesting because we've been kind of dancing around it, speculating about it for a while. What Jerry West basically said is that the Los Angeles Clippers are the best organization that he's ever worked for. And BT ran through a bunch of them, the Lakers being one, which, I mean, you got to think, the Lakers did the dynasty and the, you know, this height that he had built them to, obviously as a player, but then as an executive, that's the one that should just pop, right, at the top of his head. But let's not forget, he was also with the Warriors when they built from, you know, the ashes into this kind of mini dynasty. This current iteration of this team, and we know that didn't end well. He didn't want to leave the Golden State Warriors. He wanted more money or whatever happened. It didn't work out, and he basically thought he was done until the Clippers came calling. Now, he says this for a couple of reasons. One, it's because of Steve Ballmer, who is the owner, who's fantastic, and he's a billionaire, probably a couple times over. So there's no expense that's spared, right? If you need something, you're going to get it from Steve Ballmer because it's money isn't an object. And I guess that's one thing. But I think, too, remember where the Clippers were with the you know,
with Sterling,
Donald Sterling mm-hmm. saga, and you know, even before that that came to light, it was like they were a laughing stock in a sense. It was like, okay, they're never gonna, you know, surpass the Lakers. They're sharing a building. They're the second class tenants in the same building as the Lakers. And then the Donald Sterling things happened, and it was like, man, we just need to blow up this organization, just get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, for all intents and purposes. And so to take it from where it perceptually and maybe even realistically was to where it is seemingly going now, it's a climb. So when he was with the Lakers, right, the Lakers were already great. They already had a history, right? They already had great success over the decades. The Golden State Warriors, now it'd been a while, but they had a little bit of a history too. The Clippers didn't have any of that. So it's like building from scratch. Now, there is a recency bias, obviously, but I think there's something to that. The fact that it was, I mean, the Clippers were, let's get rid of them type in territory. And then all of a sudden, now they're a favorite to win the NBA championship. Mm-hmm. And it happens under Jerry West's watch. You can see where that emotion comes from.
Yeah, I can, but it doesn't mean I'm buying it. And I love Jerry West. And
I'm just explaining why I think he's saying this is the best organization that he's worked for.
I just think it's all about money. That's the first thing you said. Because mm-hmm. really, if you listen to what do you say this on the Dan Patrick Show? Or he said this yesterday. Ballmer's willing to spend money on players. He's willing to spend on personnel within the front office. I've never been around an organization that is better than this one, that's for sure.
Willing to spend on me.
Exactly. Give me what I wanted, which is why I came. But really, nothing else concretely is mentioned. It's just about Ballmer and his money. And okay, we understand that. Now, that doesn't mean that as Ballmer becomes even more entrenched in ownership and because there's the transition process. Mm-hmm. We talk about transition process for players when you get drafted, for coaches. There's a transition as an owner as well. I mean, you really there is. Now it's different. It might not be day to day. It might not be, you know, as minutia driven.
Yeah,
but you're not the general manager.
But it seems like Steve Ballmer is involved in a lot of ways.
Oh, he's definitely involved.
Right?
He's not sitting back and
just chilling and you know, make some money for me.
And by the way, I like when the owner. I like knowing who the owners are. Yeah. I don't love anonymous owners like. I love when, not that they can't be successful, I'm certainly not implying that, but like when George Steinbrenner, I mean, that's obviously my team, but George Steinbrenner, you know, had this villainous, he would wear the black cape all throughout baseball, except he actually at times he even wore it with the Yankee fans, where we looked at him as the villain. He was booted out of baseball for a couple of years. I like to know who the owner is. I like to have a, you know, whether you love them or are lukewarm or love their politics or hate their politics or don't know their politics, whatever. I love seeing owners, you know, front and center, you know, like Mark Cuban with his sleeves rolled up and like working up a lather, working up a sweat, watching his team. I love that.
Yeah, you don't like the anonymous owner who just sits in the booth and, you know, has
cuts the checks.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I don't like that.
No, I don't either. And
I don't like that.
When you're Steve Ballmer and you're worth $51 billion, I was way off. I thought it was like a couple billion. He's $51 billion. I mean, he was number two there at Microsoft, right, when it started how many years ago? $51 billion. So,
you walk around with any cash if you have $51 billion?
I think you have people that walk around with you that have walk around cash if you have $51 billion.
$51 billion.
Hey, I peel off 100 for the, you know, the busboy over there.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You better say that when you have that much money.
I mean, but that's the point. I mean, when you have a ton of money and you're in Los Angeles, second of all, it's not like, you know, he's in, you know, this little tiny market. He's in a major media market and the second overall, obviously, in the country. And if you're successful, the fan base will actually buy in to a winning team. It works, right? And so for Jerry West, I think there's just an excitement when he knows this is his last stop. At least that's what he said. This will be his last stop. I would think he's not lying about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to feel great. Like if you're ending your career and you're the logo, one of the great players of all time, also one of the great executives of all time, and you have a shot to build a championship level team and maybe win a championship with a team that nobody ever thought would ever win a championship.
They were a joke for 25 years.
In the Lakers building,
mm-hmm.
no less.
Yeah.
Of course that feels amazing. It's like it's almost like being in a startup. You know, if those who have been parts of startups, it's like it gets to this point, like this tipping point where it's like, man, we're going to make it. Right?
It's galvanizing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not going to fail. We're going to make it.
Yeah.
You know what? We might make a ton of money.
Uh-huh.
That's what it feels like the Clippers are right now. They've gone over the tipping point.
He's energized by their resurgence.
Yes.
No question. And a lot of their resurgence is based on the fact that of course, they've got tremendous players, but they have a sensible ownership and ownership that is obviously very driven to deliver whatever it takes on every level. But I still got to call him out. Not call him out. I still have to question the authenticity of those words. Not that he doesn't believe that he's in a great situation, but I believe it's partially derived from a little distaste for both the Lakers and the Warriors. Because you think about
what's the distaste from the Lakers?
Well,
I understand from the
Warriors. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. But I'm just thinking, like, if you look at the Lakers, historically, they always paid.
Yeah.
There was never a situation where the Lakers were like, nah, you know what, a little tight, can't go this, nah, too much. Lakers always spent. Lakers were always glamorous. Lakers were always first rate. Lakers always had a brand that was equivalent, you know, to the Yankees, to the Celtics, to the Canadians, to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, to USC, to the staple sports brands. I mean, they're the Lakers. I mean, are you kidding me? So the Lakers, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that they're even better than the Warriors. You have to understand, and I heard this recently on a podcast, Steph Curry talking about this. The, you know, being at the forefront of the analytical wave in basketball, baseball is one thing. But, you know, Steph expounded on why. Oh, you know what? It wasn't a podcast. It was during the Accenture, during the event out in Utah this past weekend where they have the hoop out there. And one of the things on the, I think, 17th hole, one of the things that Steph said, he said, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, we introduced this device at the practice facility where it would actually measure the arc of each shot. Remember I told you that?
Oh, that's right. That's
so
right.
The optimal height is basically, I think, 16 and a half or so, 17 feet. And
that's to make the basket more circular so that a circle ball can go through easier.
Seemingly increasing the circumference, as we've talked about with the Sports Science Show. Correct. But Zion Williamson is right around 13 feet. So he's got to obviously up that trajectory. But Steph referenced something 6 years ago, and when that was trotted out, I'm sure some of the players were looking around saying, this is a little wacky. So I don't know how Jerry West, unless it's just distaste, again, back to my original point, for franchises that either didn't pay him what he wanted or moved on or didn't give him the credit that he thinks he earned or desired. Don't tell me that the Clippers are a better-run organization than the Warriors. I'm not hearing it.
Yeah.
I'm just not having it.
No.
There's no evidence. There's just no evidence.
And it's hard to argue that when he was a general manager of the Lakers in the 80s, I forgot, like, the number of championships that they won.
He built the whole dynasty.
80, 82, 85, 87. And let's not forget the three-peat, you know. So maybe winning is not what he's measuring on, right? It's got to be the personalities of the people he's working with.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't discount that. I can't say, because I don't know Jerry Buss, old man Buss. I don't, obviously he's passed away, but I don't know him. I don't know what he was like to work for.
Everybody raves about him.
Of course.
It doesn't mean you can't have one one-off where it's a personality clash.
I don't know what the Warriors management is like, but we actually talked
Platinum.
To, who do we talked to one Lakem. Of them. Was it Joe Lacob?
Remember they
got an award? Remember we talked to him a couple years ago?
Yeah, I do remember that. He was in the studio.
And he was great.
We had him twice. Exactly. Once on the phone, once in studio.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrific. Came from the Suns. I'm forgetting his name right now. But
me
obviously.
Too.
And by the way, that's thought to be the root of some of the disconnect.
It was Joe Lacob.
But there was also somebody else in the organization who's openly gay. And that's part of the reason, at least the perception is that Mark Jackson was on the outs there.
That's right.
Because Mark was very outspoken about homosexuality.
Yep.
And the gentleman, and I'm forgetting his name, and maybe
Rick
Mike
Welts.
Could find, there you go, came from the Suns. Rick Welts is openly gay.
Yeah.
So what the Warriors do is tremendous.
Yeah.
And they've navigated this exit from the East Bay to San Francisco in this building that's going to be off the charts.
You
want to tell me the Clippers are on a pace to equal what the don't tell me they're better than the Warriors.
Yes,
that they're better run. I just can't accept.
I think it's hard to
the Lakers right now. I can.
It's hard to yes, but it's
now
hard to or even but from his experience with the Lakers, you can't even
correct.
You can't even co-sign.
No,
it,
that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Well, that's true.
But I think from his experience, from a team that was established that had been, you know, the Lakers to a team that went that became the Warriors, the dynasty that we know. To the startup nature, it feels like the Clippers are going through right now. I think that's what he's talking. I think he's talking about the emotional feel that he's getting right now from having a super billionaire as an owner who spares no expense. They go out and do whatever they need to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to be a part of winning pedigree. It's another to help create the winning pedigree. And I think that's what he's talking about.
Different energy.
Yeah,
No,
is.
There's something
it
to be said for that.
Is.
No, I understand that. Okay. And listen, Jerry West is beyond reproach. So it's just when you read that without the context of the rest of the conversation, or because he didn't really necessarily even dive into it. He didn't offer up that context. It was basically, you know, Ballmer's got a ton of money and he spends it, and I've never been around a franchise quite like the Clippers. Certainly caught our attention, wanted to get that out there. Let's get into this coming up next here. This is interesting, and I don't know where you're going to sit on this side of the discussion. I'm looking forward to finding out. Hard diss or competitive advantage? A little something on Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods. We'll get to it coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be also draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than in the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. You heard it right. It's free. And if it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact SuperStart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and a 15-minute save 15% or more on car insurance on this Tuesday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. So, you know, it's funny. I was never, do a little something on Tiger that I think you'll find interesting. And I want to hear if it's in, even though next segment's inbounds, out of bounds. This is a little bit early appetizer, inbounds, out of bounds. I never liked the Open Championship. I never, like, it always, first of all, the times are brutal.
These guys are teeing off Eastern at like 1:30, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning.
So if you really want to watch it. Well,
you could DVR it by the time you wake up.
True.
But most people have to go to work.
And you also know, right?
Well, you can. Well, unless think about this.
So all of my like sports stats, whether it's the CBS Sports, whatever, they all send me updates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's pushed to me.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Shut the notifications
off. You can,
yeah.
But then I shut everything off. I mean, I guess I could just detail, but whatever.
Whatever. But the point is
it complicates my life. And it's ugly golf looking.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I never liked it. Like, there's something to be said. You know, I just, it's personal taste. I love the character of Northeast golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've played some beautiful courses in Northern California that are woven throughout vineyards, which are incredible. But I like that tree line, even though it usually hurts me, the tree line, you know, where it just, it pops. It's a different feel. The green, it just feels different. I've never really liked the Open Championship.
Because it's brown.
It's browned out. You can't even really tell on TV because it all blends in. Not that you could tell necessarily the undulations, even at Augusta. My in-laws were out there for the practice round. They said the TV doesn't do it any justice at all, but at least you could tell that there's some variation. To your point, it's all brown and it all blends in. But I've really grown as I've become a real golf fan and somewhat passionate observer of history, really have a deeper appreciation for the game of golf that I never had.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm really looking forward to getting a taste of Royal Portrush, no matter what time it is. And I want to know from a former athlete, all right, even though you played a team sport, if this is... Keep in mind, these guys are friends.
Uh-huh.
They're friends. It's not like they're... Certainly not adversaries, but it's not even like they're... What's up, Tiger? Like in Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods. I don't know if they're boys, because there's a big age difference, but they're tight. They're both with Nike. They're tight. Tiger Woods texted Brooks. Now, the beauty of this event, nobody knows the course.
Exactly.
Nobody.
That's what we were just talking about.
Exactly. Except Brooks Koepka, because his caddy is a member there. So Brooks basically told his caddy, tell me where to hit it. That's where I'll hit it. You know every nook and crevice of this course? I'll follow your lead. So Tiger Woods texted Brooks and said, hey, can I tag along with you and your caddy to get, you know, hang out? Is it okay? I want to see what's going on. Never called him back. Never texted him.
Crickets.
Ghosted him.
Crickets.
Ghost time, right?
Yes.
Get the ghost emoji. Now, if you're friends, there's still something to be said for, hey, you go and do your own homework, man. It's not my problem that you get here 3 days before the event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm doing my homework. My caddy's got an in, and I've got an advantage. I'm not going to share it with you. Should he have shared it a little bit?
No, he shouldn't have shared it with him. Not at all. Absolutely. So, first of all, Brooks Koepka, and I think he said this also over the last couple of days, he doesn't care about the greater Chicago whatever Open. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about, maybe the Memorial he cares about because Jack's tournament, but he doesn't care
well,
about.
Oh, we just had the John Deere. He doesn't care about the John Deere.
No, John Deere. He doesn't practice before these things. He just, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to go bang the ball around. If it does well and I win one, great. You know how many of those he's won? One. But when it comes to majors and the big four,
mm-hmm.
he's all dialed in. And so he knows legacy. He knows what he's on the cusp of becoming as a player, because he's so dominant in the majors that I think it's like proprietary to him. So is this shade? No, not at all. This is his competitive advantage, and I would have done the same thing. I would have said, "Sorry, Tiger, love you, bro," but
he didn't say anything. He didn't write him back.
Maybe he had the wrong number.
No, I don't think that they had the wrong number. I think that they're friends. They've communicated quite a bit in the past.
You know what?
The right number.
D-Cell just said something. I feel like Brooks just said, maybe it's like 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, people calling him like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people have his number because he's gotten so good. He's won back-to-back championships in the Open, not this year, but 2 years ago. And then
the PGA
as well, back-to-back. Someone asked him, right, what do your friends say when they call you? Or are people calling you much more now because you're multiple, major champion? And he said something like, yeah, I think it's time for me to change my number. And so he actually may not have.
He's not going to dump Tiger. Tiger's going to have his new number.
He actually might not have his number.
Tiger has his number.
Hey, we got to.
They both represent Nike. You know how this goes.
Let's ask
they
have the same game. Number. No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
They're friends. So Tiger wrote, this is from Tiger. He said, I texted him congrats on another great finish.
Tiger could also be
US
like,
Open.
Like
jabbing a little bit.
Hyperbole here.
I mean. And I said, hey, dude, do you mind if I tag along and play a practice round? I've heard nothing. Crickets. Hasn't gotten back to me, said Tiger. I love it. I hope they're paired up together. That would be even better. Listen, this is where I'm a little concerned about Tiger Woods. I said this yesterday. I think that he's at a place where he's never been.
Mm-hmm.
That's content.
Mm-hmm.
That's content.
We'll ask Noda,
yeah?
Because it's an interesting observation. Nobody thought Tiger was getting back. Nobody, right? You did. I didn't. I thought he'd be good. Be an average
appreciate
golfer.
Appreciate that disclaimer, by the way.
No, but you did.
Nobody, except the two people in the room, one of us did. I'll give you credit. Thank you,
but
buddy.
A lot of people didn't
know it was coming.
A lot of people didn't,
yeah.
Right? They just...
Most people wrote him off. He's dead. He's roadkill.
Well,
he's done.
Even if he got healthy and was good, he's 43 years old. Come on, Tiger.
Right.
You're 7 years away from the champions, tournament,
he'll
right?
never play that.
Of course he'll not. Never will. But still, yeah. Like, theoretically,
yeah.
He's closer there than he is to the years when he was dominant.
No doubt.
Right? And so nobody expected it. But the Masters at Augusta... He knows the course well. He knows mm-hmm. where not to make mistakes. He knows where not to make chances, like the 12, right? I'm not messing with that hole. I'm sticking it right in the middle of the green, right? So it's one of those things where, everything worked out perfectly for him. And he won a Masters. He won a Majors. And how could you not be content, right? You accomplished something. And just like I said yesterday when you brought this up, maybe that'll be his goal. There's going to be one or two majors that I'm going to really dial in for. Other than that, I just got to be Tiger. I got to be myself and, live my life, help raise my kids, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Your priorities change when you get to the age that Tiger is right now. It's hard for us to look at him as an old athlete. Not an old man, as an old athlete.
Yeah.
But he's an old athlete.
Well, he is, but he is an old athlete with a renewed lease on life. Athletically,
mm-hmm.
which is why, and even publicly, I mean, he's been embraced now. But from a physical point of view, I hear you. Common human nature might kick in and overtake the desire to still grind and be great.
Mm-hmm.
Once you climb the mountain, it's like, I'm going to chill here for a little bit. I'm going to get out the tent and a little fire, open a little beer. I'm going to hang out at the top of this mountain. It took a long time to get up here, man. It was icy and
get
I kept
back,
losing my footing.
Get back up here, you mean.
Yeah, but I think what I'm saying is I think, you know, the slow ascent up, I believe that he really just truly, and I don't begrudge him for this, enjoyed spending a little time on the top of the mountain he yeah. never thought he would get to
yeah,
again.
Yeah, look at that. His last major before the Masters was 11 years ago.
It's crazy.
2008, U.S. Open.
But don't forget, Teak, this was still the player who had Jack Nicklaus's accomplishments on his wall as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So if he thinks he's going to gear up for Augusta every year, and maybe the U.S. Open if it's a venue that he likes, and this one was, he just didn't play particularly great in certain spots, then that's not going to be enough for him to catch Jack. Hmm. Now, the converse is...
You think he's still...
Yeah, like, come on. Once he got that extra one...
Yeah, but do you still think he's obsessed?
Obsessed is not the word that I would use.
With catching Jack.
No, I think that he was obsessed, and I think this speaks into, and I could totally respect this, I believe he was obsessed with making sure his children saw the best version of Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, YouTube is nice to relive some moments with dad, but it's better being outside the ropes running in and dad yeah. hugging you when you win a major. That's, you know, and I believe there's a long exhale. You know, usually I give Tiger the benefit of the doubt in terms of predicting how he's going to play because his, you know, his sense around the greens and his creativity and his focus and two iron down, oh, especially overseas, you could hit the stinger all day and just let it run. I don't think he's going to play very well. I just think he's very rusty. Very rusty. He's not in game shape.
Yeah. He's taking a month off, basically, what BT's talking about.
Yeah, so we'll see. And maybe if he starts well, he's galvanized and he can carry that into Sunday.
Yeah,
and
snaps in.
Maybe.
In.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he starts with like a pedestrian 74 or you know, even worse, I think he's going to fade hard if that's the case. But certainly not hoping that that's the case, but it wouldn't surprise me if it is. All right, T, coming up next, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. We'll get to Ack. And by the way, a little more golf next hour. Nota Begay is going to check in from Northern Ireland and let us know what's happening at Royal Portrush. Get a sense of the layout. Is it a big hit? I don't even know like what characteristics. I really don't. So Nota's going to let us know about that. Ack's update is right now, Inbounds, Out of Bounds, after that, Ack. Okay, back here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Time now for the Game Plan for Success, brought to you by Napa. Take a look at a team and their plan for success. How about the Dodgers on a three-game winning streak? And they're pounding people. I mean, just relying on the offense to get it done. Nice series in Boston. They won 2 out of 3. And then last night against the Phillies, no difference, scoring 16 runs. I mean, they just mash on 19 hits to give them their league best 63rd win of the season, a run differential of plus 148. And there were some detectable Dodger cheers and chants at Fenway. It was interesting. Dodger fans traveled really well. I wonder how many were old Brooklyn Dodger fans. I can't imagine there's that many of them that are still that passionate to go to Fenway Park and cheer. You know, let's go Dodgers.
I mean, that's
Brooklyn Dodger fans.
That's a long hangover.
A long time ago, late 50s when they bounced out west. But Dodgers are pretty nasty. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That is Napa know-how. Tiki and Tierney here on this Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio. All right, next hour. This is always fun. Vegas released, and I was studying these this morning, the latest, their projected win totals. Mm-hmm. And, boy, it's always interesting to see what they put real belief behind their dollar in. Teak and I will cut through those coming up. Which ones make some sense? Where's the good bets? Where's the value? Where's the pitfalls? Nota Begay as well, hour number two, a little golf. He's going to check in from Royal Portrush as we get ready for the Open Championship. But right now, time for Inbounds and Out of Bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, here we go, buddy. So yesterday's deadline for franchise-tagged players to sign long-term deals came and went without a contract with the Texans' star, one of them, the Jadeveon Clowney. However, the NFLPA... considering filing a grievance, maybe a little shadiness, a little slim shadiness on the part of the Texans, after the team listed Clowney as a DE/LB rather than just defensive end. Why that matters, obviously, the franchise number for linebackers, nearly $2 million less than that of a defensive end. In today's NFL, with blurring of lines between positions, the Texans' move is in or out.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they can label these guys this way because it's what they're actually doing. And let's not forget that Khalil Mack is also a slash, and he was the first player ever to make All-Pro as a linebacker and as a defensive end a couple of years ago, and that generated and earned him a six-year, $141 million contract.
Worth every penny.
And he's worth every single penny. So if your impact on both ways is, while it may seem detrimental from a franchise tag number, it's actually significantly more value because you're more versatile as a player. It's actually no different than what Le'Veon Bell was clamoring for because he catches 80 passes a game and can theoretically be classified as a wide receiver.
True.
Right? Yeah, but he's also a great runner. It's different.
The Texans theoretically taking money out of his pocket.
It's different because they're taking money out of his pocket. The PA, if they file this grievance, they'll win it. They'll win this grievance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jadeveon Clowney should actually, in his mind, like, position this as a positive because this is going to actually help him get paid more.
See, I don't know how. I mean,
it's taking money out of his pocket short term.
Now it is, sure, but here's the thing: it's not like everybody knows who he is. I mean, so they could place, they could call him a kicker.
Yeah,
but and he's on tape for 5 years. Everybody knows what he is.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So I don't know how he's stuck.
He can't negotiate with anybody else. He can only negotiate.
No, I understand that.
With the Houston Texans, and the Houston Texans, who have cap space to sign him, for whatever reason, don't want to. Mm-hmm. Likely because they're paying J.J. Watt $13 million a year, $15 million a year. So they don't want to do the same for him. They don't want to have both your defensive ends making, $40 million, $30-something million dollars between the two of them. So they can't right now.
If I'm the player, it would bother me. If I'm the team, I would do it. Now, you're probably right. Actually, I think you're definitely right. I believe that the grievance filed by the NFLPA, I believe that will be successful. But that doesn't mean that, you know, until there's more clarity, until the rules are more clearly defined, do what you got to do. And, you know, especially if it's a player that you're not so sure that you want. If you can shave off $2 million and disperse it elsewhere, backup offensive lineman, which, mm-hmm. by the way, might not be a bad thing for a team that can't block for their quarterback.
Yep.
In a salary cap league, you got to do what you got to do, even if it's distasteful.
That's
to
exactly
the player.
Right, BT, from a both track standpoint.
Yep.
The top two paid players on the from salary cap standpoint for the Houston Texans.
Hopkins.
Are Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt.
That's not Hopkins yet.
No, because of the franchise. Oh, the franchise right, number is right. $15-16 million. So your DNs.
There you go.
One position, two different spots, making those more than the team.
NFL and their money, it's so weird.
Are you in or are you out?
After Kevin Durant chose the Nets, the Warriors were able to swing a deal for D'Angelo Russell, who helped revitalize his career, a little renaissance last year.
Did.
With the Brooklyn Nets, obviously. The two-time finals MVP walked out the door in Golden State. He wound up in Brooklyn, so he's going to play for BK. I don't know if he's going to play this year, but he's going to eventually play for the Nets. Many reports said the Warriors would then try to flip Russell, mm-hmm. for other assets. We talked about this, yep. on the show. But GM Bob Myers denied those claims yesterday.
I mean, I know it's been written and speculated, and that's fine. That's what everybody's job is to do. We didn't sign him with the intention of just trading him. We haven't even seen him play in our uniform yet, and a lot of people have us already trading him. That's not how we're viewing it. Let's just see what we have. Let's see what he is. Let's see how he fits. We're just happy that we got a young player that has a lot of upside, in our opinion, and we're excited at the possibility of him in our uniform.
All right, so there you go. Bob Myers, who's done a great job, great for the Warriors. Inbounds, out of bounds. Think the Warriors would be better off holding on to Russell long-term.
You know, I can see why he doesn't fit here, especially with Steph and Clay. But let's not forget, Steph is 31 right now. His contract is up after the 2021 season. So two seasons from now, Steph is a free agent, going to be a free agent in 2022.
Go back home to Charlotte.
And he's
going to
be 34 years old, right? Mm-hmm. If you need a replacement and you want to keep this thing, you want to keep running this thing out with Clay, because Clay is going to hold up, I think his game holds up a little bit better than Steph's does. You know, after Steph Lee, you need a really good developed point guard. Mm-hmm. I think inbounds is the answer to this. Not as a replacement to Steph, but maybe as a security blanket to Steph. Because you never know. He's had some injury issues over his career.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when he hits 32 or 33 and it's just not the same Steph?
Don't know.
And if you have D'Angelo Russell, you're kind of protected a little bit, especially if he keeps developing into the player that we think he can be.
I thought it was a smart move by the Warriors to go ahead and do this here. Now, I will say, and you allude to this, there's definitely positional redundancy,
yes.
on the Warriors. There's no question. But without Klay Thompson, well, again, we keep saying February, and hopefully he's on target, maybe a bit ahead of it. You know, D'Angelo Russell, who's not nearly as efficient as Curry, or, I mean, nobody is, or Thompson, really. But, you know, it enables Curry to stay a little fresh.
Yeah.
There's going to be nights where D'Angelo Russell is going to pop in 30. And, you know, whether the Warriors win or lose will be largely dependent upon the rest of the cast here. But, you know, if there was no Russell without Klay Thompson for the first 5 months of the season, you were going to just drive poor Steph Curry into the ground.
That's right.
If nothing else, you could say, hey, Russ, go get him. You know, now, I would feel a little bit better if, you know, because last year he didn't even play the whole season, Russell. If there was one more year in front of last year on the stats where it was like, okay, so 2 years ago he was this, and then last year he was this, and now I'm fairly confident this is his trajectory for the next 3, 4, 5 years. I believe it is. But I'm going to say out of bounds, but I can't answer this definitively because I don't know what he's going to look like with the rest of those Warriors. So it was smart getting him, but to make a blanket statement now with his future, I think it doesn't make any sense. Why would you even do it?
Are you in or are you out?
Although, to be fair, from Meyer's point of view, it's smart. You want the player to feel stable.
Yeah,
I understand why he would do it. I'm just saying us. All right, Teague. Now, on Sunday, Angels superstar. How good is Mike Trout?
Too good.
What's the word to describe Mike Trout?
It's ridiculous.
What's the word?
He hasn't even reached his peak yet.
My God, he's so good. Angels superstar Mike Trout. We know he left the game a leg injury. Minor, not a big deal. The MRI showed it was just a calf strain, and we talked about this yesterday as well. And he's not going to be out too long. More maintenance stuff, precautionary stuff. The 27-year-old's already won 2 MVPs. He's finished second 4 other times, but is amazingly having his best offensive season yet. Now, Trout's got 30 home runs, 75 RBIs, and 77 walks, and he's on pace to shatter his career best in each category, all while amassing the stat we all believe is the best stat, all-encompassing, his highest OPS ever by nearly 40 points. Wow. I mean, he's just destroying people. And leading the American League in a career-best 9 categories. That's Mike Trout for you. In or out, despite the incredible start to his career, we still haven't seen the best of Mike Trout.
I'm going to say inbounds of this. Think about when the Angels get Shohei Ohtani healthy, and there's, like, help, protection, slash, they, around him, right? So when he doesn't have to be the sole carrier of this offense like he's been for so many of the years that he's been there. It's getting a little bit better. Pujols is obviously aged, but he can still bang them out every now and then. But I think if they get help around him, I mean, forget it. How good will he be when it's easier for him? So I'm going to say inbounds of that. I don't think we've seen the top yet.
I'm going to say out of bounds. Keep in mind, while the supporting cast, you know, it's not Murderer's Row, but it's I think it's a lot better than people think.
It's gotten better, certainly.
It's top 8 in 3 of the most pertinent stats.
Yeah, average Calhoun runs, is good, too.
What's that?
Calhoun is good, too.
Yeah, Calhoun's got some bombs. He's got, I like him a lot. Average runs on base percentage. The Angels offense, top 8 in all those categories. Now, obviously, it's top heavy because Mike Trout's numbers bring those up.
Yep.
But really, their issue is pitching, where they're, I believe they're 15th or 16th in ERA. He's got enough sticks around him. My answer is out of bounds, though, because he'll never run like he used to. You got to remember, he had 49 stolen bases in his second season. And while, and now he's just 8. And by the way, if I'm the Angels, I don't want Mike Trout running a ton because the last thing you want is to slide head first and
break a little
pinky bone there and miss, fracture something and really miss time. But another pretty good stat, and OPS is obviously the best, but OPS plus is just OPS on steroids because it fits your ballpark. There's an adjustment there. So last year, his OPS plus was actually higher. So to say that every stat is better is actually not correct. OPS plus is a pretty interesting stat. I know it's next level geekdom. I get that, but it's a good number. I just believe that there's limits. I don't care how good you are. There's limitations. And I believe this is, when we look back, provided he gets healthy and he comes back and he mashes right away, this will represent his best season ever. He'll have others that are somewhat comparable. This will be the best season of his career.
Are you in or are you out?
Lincoln Riley, a little college football. It's getting to be that time, Teak. By the way, I got to call you out on something yesterday with the college football. We'll get to that. Lincoln Riley's had a heck of a start to his career as the head coach of the Sooners, as we know. 2 seasons since he took over for Bob Stoops. Riley, 24-4, 2 playoff appearances, and he's seen his quarterback win the Heisman and get drafted number 1 overall in both years. Not bad. What a resume. Now the Sooners will turn to former Bama national champ Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, necessarily hasn't won the job yet, according to people of Oklahoma.
He will.
And he's going to lead the offense. Yesterday at Big 12 media day, Riley had to answer whether or not his offense can maintain its level of play.
You lost Kyler and four offensive linemen. I assume your offense is going to dip. Can your defense rise more than your offense might slip this year?
We don't plan on the offense dipping. And then the second part of that, we definitely expect our defense to be better. I don't think there's any doubt. That's why we've recruited as hard as we have. That's why we made some of the changes on the coaching staff that we've made. So the expectations are very high on both sides of the ball.
Good answer. Here we go. Lincoln Riley still needs to prove his success is maybe more about his coaching acumen than the players Bob Stoops actually brought in.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. He does need to get a defensive scheme that actually works because it's been horrendous. But let's not forget, back in 2015 and 16 when he was the offensive coordinator, they won the Big 12 championship. He won it in 17 and 18, obviously, as well. And that's when they instituted the championship game. I think he's done enough with Bob Stoops and then without to prove that he is a viable offensive guy in college football.
Oh, I mean, viable. He's, for me, he's nine levels above viable. But I'd like to see him win a bowl game. I mean, in one of these years, and granted, it's incredibly early, 2 years into his tenure. But, you win 12 games each year, 24 total. You lose each bowl, the Rose and the Orange. I'd like to see you win a bowl game before we stamp you as the genius.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.